and amen. Would you give him praise before we're seated tonight? He's so worthy. Oh my goodness. He's so worthy of our praise. They've been singing about how faithful God is. In the last few days of my life, God has been walking me through places and things and ways that he was faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to him. How he spared my life. How he kept his sovereign hand upon me. With his love, knowing and hoping that I would return. And I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful that he loved me first. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the good word of the Lord with you tonight. And in his sovereignty, he knew that I would stand before you this evening from the beginning of time. And he knew who would be in this room. And therefore, he has something that he desires to share with us, specifically for us. So would you just stretch your hands this way and pray for me that I just speak his heart tonight. Father, I submit myself to you, to your authority. This is your house. These are your people, and I am your servant. And so, Lord, I decrease and have you increase. Lord, what you I have prepared and you have placed in my heart, bring it out in a way that will be personal, powerful, and practical. May we leave here encouraged by you, Lord, but may we leave here changed as well. May we leave here with our cup overflowing tonight so that someone may drink and see and taste that the Lord is good. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this shepherd and his family. And I thank you, God, that we get to break open the bread of life tonight. Let it be substance to our bodies, our minds, and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can give him praise one more time as you're seated if you desire. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to you in just a few moments about when good isn't good enough. And I'm going to be in Luke chapter 5, at the end of Luke chapter 5 tonight, talking about a parable that Jesus spoke of right after he called Matthew the tax collector to ministry. But first, I want to share a little personal story with you. Right after, I don't share any stories about your pastor because I don't have any bad stories about him. He knows a lot of bad stories about me, and so I don't want him to share any of those. So I won't share anything. I got some funny stories. If you want to ask me later, we might get to share that. But I was with a group of ministers a few years ago, and we were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and it began to snow. And anybody down here just go nuts when it starts snowing? Right? We don't have any. I moved to Hattiesburg from North Mississippi, and you guys are further south, so we just don't see a lot of snow, right? So my wife and I, we get out, we go to Walgreens, there's a snow report. I try to find something I can slide, because we're in the mountains, right? There's plenty of hills. I find this thing for $7. It looks like a trash can lid, and I get it. And this is just a few years ago. You see how old I am, right? But anyway, I get these things, and I decide that if it snows, we're gonna slide down the hill. And so everybody there knew we had them, and it didn't snow a lot, but it came a lot of ice with a little bit of snow on the top. Well, Teresa and I went down this little small slope into a little cabin area where the cabin was there and the driveway was there, and I hit the cabin, and she hit the bushes, and we all laughed and thought that was good. And then I started eyeing the drive that we came up the top of the mountain on. I thought, you know, I can probably slide down that. And anybody in here, a good old redneck, you know, watch this. That's just what we say, right? And so the next thing you know, I've got a plan. I've got one guy about halfway down the hill. I've got another guy in the curve before I go off way down the hill, because I know I'll be doing about 90 miles an hour by there. And so they're just going to catch me if I'm going too fast. Calculated this thing out, talked my courage up. Ronnie Walters was there, by the way. And you, if you search social media enough, you'll find this, actually. They filmed it, of course. And so what I didn't calculate was that about 10 feet into my slide, I turned around backwards. And from there, it was all gravity and the slope and the ice taking over. So I made it to the curve, but I didn't make it around the curve, praise God, but I got airborne at the curve. About probably 10 foot in the air. And while I'm in the air, I'm going, this is going to hurt really bad. The snow is not, you know how time suspends right there? And so I just spread out as wide as I could to take the lick as hard, you know, just as much of my body absorb it. And of course, the breath got knocked out of me. And it was a few minutes before everybody got down there to check on me. And you know the first thing I said as they were trying to pick me up? You all right? You all right, man? I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I really wasn't good. I didn't have to go to the hospital, but I couldn't walk for 2 or 3 days because I was stove up. How many times do we say that, right? You go by, hey, how are you going? How's it going in your life? Oh, man, it's good. And we know deep down it's not good, right? Well, I wanted to talk to you tonight about this parable about the patch and the wineskins. Old wine and new wine. And old wineskins and new wineskins. And I wanted to look at this translation in New American Standard tonight that I want to read to you. And talk about when good really just isn't good enough. So as he began to call Matthew and Levi at that time, Matthew the tax collector, Matthew threw a party with all of his buddies. And they were a bunch of who'd have thought it's, right? Anybody in here ever been a who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought that boy would have turned out like that? Maybe that's just me. But anyway, he threw a party with a bunch of who'd have thought it's because that's all he knew. And he was celebrating that Jesus had called him. Well, the Pharisees that were there began to judge and they began to think, who is this man that associates with all of these tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus said, you know, it's not the well who need a physician. It's those that are sick. And then he gave them a parable to kind of chew on, as he always does in our lives. And he said this to them. He said, and he was also telling them a parable. Let me get this so I can see. I've got my glasses here. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. Now, I think most of us would agree that have studied the Bible for any length of time knew that Jesus was talking to them about the old covenant and the new covenant. He was talking to them about, you're going to have to open your mind. The ways and traditions and all these things you've added to my law are going to hinder you and keep you from seeing Messiah sitting right here in front of you. But also tonight, I would like to say that I think that Jesus could also say that applied today to us that know him as Lord and Savior. That we must take on that new life, as Paul said in Corinthians. We are new creations. The Greeks had a word that they coined that meant an entirely new being. And so for us to step into this new life and this new creation that God had for us, we must grow in Christ. We must continue to put on this new life, this new body, this new wineskin, if you look at that metaphor, so that new wine can be poured into us. And so quickly, I want to talk to you about patch, pour, and pursue. So let's talk about the patch first. So what I'm saying to you tonight, and what I try to remind myself is, that we need more than just a patch. So many people come into church, come into the doors, come into service, come into the body of Christ looking for a patch. They are looking for a treatment when Jesus Christ is the cure. They are looking for something to patch them up so they can go back out. And they're not willing to let go of all these other things that they think patch them up, at least temporarily. And they look at Jesus and us as the church, as the body of Christ, as just another patch. So they hold on to us and they hold on to all these other things. but they're never letting go of the old life. So therefore, they're just patched up. And I would say to you, in my own life, as I mature and I grow in Christ and I become more and more like Christ as I try to become, He reveals more and more ways that I'm just patching myself up. And if we look at the body of Christ, certainly in the South, where I am and where you are in the Bible Belt, there's many people that I come out and I witness to them and I say, do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, I was saved in Bible school. I repeated something that somebody said after me, and I know, here's my patch, basically, metaphorically. Here's my patch, I'm saved. But it's one thing to know Jesus as Savior, and an entirely different thing to know Him as Lord. When Jesus called Matthew and all His other disciples, the ones that we know that He called, He spoke to them and said, follow Me. And so life is so much more than a salvation patch. Life is so much more if we just allow that old wineskin to be given off of us and not just deal with the patch, but embrace the new. That the life that I have in Jesus Christ is a new life. And I therefore must lay down my old ways, even my old traditions sometimes, to embrace the new wine and the work that God is doing in my life and in others. Because if not, I'm just going to walk around patched up like everybody else, and we're just going to be able to show each other's patches. When God has called us to so much more, God has called us to a life. In John 10:10, He said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and you have it abundantly. In the Amplified Translation, it says to the point of overflowing. So I must have enough for myself. I read it this way, and for somebody else to partake of. I will never have enough with just a patch. Because Jesus was pretty clear, the patch is not going to attach itself to the new. It's going to pull away. It's not the same. It's going to not be meshing together in a way that when the new wine comes in, that it's going to be moving to where it needs to be. The Pharisees, they were more worried about what people thought about them than what God knew about them. And sometimes we get into that situation, right? As Christians, we think the world is looking at us and we feel like we're being judged by this and judged by that. And social media and media, they portray us in certain ways. But what matters to you and me the most and who we will answer to is God. And so what God thinks about me and what God asks me to do, if I serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, then the world is going to see God in me. And therefore, I'm going to be overflowing with the love of Jesus Christ. People are going to be able to see that I have more than a patch, that I actually have this new wine. So many of us are going around in life patched up and saying, oh, it's good. It's good. But saying, oh, I'm good, it just isn't good enough. The light's got to turn and run out the darkness. It's time that we stop being comfortable with the things that are tormenting us. It's time that we stop making friends with all of the things that we know that Jesus gave His life to drive out of our lives. I'm going to just share a testimony, and I can't say this will apply to everybody, but I'm just going to share a testimony really quickly, and we'll move on to the next point. So, I've been talking to a young man. I won't call his name because we're close enough. You may see him and know him one day. But I believe in this young man. I believe in everything that he's doing. I believe that everything is going on in his life, and he's trying to make a change, and we're having lunch, and we're visiting, and we're moving forward. But he testified to me, and he shared something with me in confession. He said, I feel like I need to do this. I know you're not my priest, but we had talked about accountability the week before, and he said, I'm not burdening you as my accountability partner, but I'm letting you know that I renounced some things out of my life the other night. And he said, ever since then, I have not taken any of my anxiety medicine. I haven't had to have anything to calm me down or wake me up or get me to go to sleep. He said, and I was doubling up on everything right before then, before this habit had overtaken me. And I can't say that's for every person, that anxiety is going to leave you, but can I just say that sin opens the door for anxiety to attack you? That it opens the door for all of these things to affect our flesh because we're appealing to Satan with our flesh and therefore he can attack our flesh, right? So if we are struggling with that, that sin habit that you don't have to confess before me or Pastor Daniel, but you do need to confess before Jesus Christ and declare and believe you can get freedom from it, that is the best way to start getting over whatever is plaguing you mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally. And tonight's a great night to do that, to move that forward. That we not only remove our patch, that we begin to take on that new wineskin so he can pour it into us. So let's look at pouring. All right? So a double-minded man, Jesus said, is what? Unstable. All the ways, right? So how can I expect my life to be anything if I've got this foot in the world and I've got this foot in church and I've got this Facebook post for this and I've got that Facebook post for that? I'm going to be unstable in everything I do and I'm not going to have any peace because my mind, my heart, it's divided. It's just torn. And when Jesus wants to do something new in my life and all of a sudden he begins to pour into me, if I've got parts of these old wineskins on me, at some point, it's going to get so good, but I haven't let go of this. I'm just going to explode, right? The reason the new wineskins had to be there because the wine was going to ferment. There was going to be chemical reactions happening, and that flexibility needed to happen inside of that, right? So the old wineskins, they couldn't take it. It was too rigid. It was too caught inside of that. And therefore, if I want this new life in Jesus Christ, and I want him to pour out his presence and his spirit, isn't that what we sing about? That we want to be full of him and full of grace and love and mercy, then I've got to let some of this other stuff go. If not, it's going to explode and I won't be able to handle it. It's going to come to a part of me that I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know that I want to pay that cost. And I leave and I go back out broken, hurt, still hanging on to something that is a counterfeit for what actually is real and good and pure. For every good thing that God created, the enemy has created a counterfeit, all the way up to the Antichrist. So if you want to know what love is, renounce lust. If you want to know what generosity is, renounce greed. Because there's things that Satan puts in front of us that are his best, and they will never, ever compare to God's best. So we have to take all of the old, everything that we'd ever thought about in our own mind, flesh, and strength. And when he reveals that it's coming from us and it's us trying to do it, let's take it off so that he can pour his love and his grace and his spirit. To not do that, James talked about, is like looking into a mirror and seeing who I am. And the minute I turn away, I forget who I am. So many times we read the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, we pray the Word of God, and we begin to realize who we really are in Jesus Christ. And we let one thing happen in our lives, one word, one situation trigger something that we really hadn't got healing from, some root that's still in there from betrayal, from abuse, from whatever it could be that the enemy has got a hold of us because he works through pain, right? He gets a hold of us through emotional shame and pain. And therefore, all of a sudden, everything we've been going and doing is hurt now because we haven't given this part of us to God. We haven't given that unforgiveness up yet. We haven't let this thing go so well and so much that it's free out of the root completely, that it's gone. And now there's new inside there. So God can fill us up with what he desires to fill us up with. The Word is alive. Our faith is alive. Our Savior is alive. We are alive in him. The Holy Spirit pours out these things inside of us, expanding our capacity for a life abundant, overflowing, loving, and learning and living to be those things that he's called us to do. And if we're not careful, about the time it gets really good, we go back out. We check ourselves out of the hospital We say, hey, I got enough pills, I got enough medicine, I'll make it. I only take half my antibiotics. Anybody ever do that? I won't have to go to the doctor next time. But spiritually, we do that too sometimes, right? Man, we pray for this great job. And I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, so I know I'm not talking to you, right? So we get this big job, or we finally get that house on the lake, and the next thing you know, the blessings take the place of the blesser. And all of a sudden, everything he's done for me, I think about it when I wake up instead of thinking about him. And things get out of order, things get out of track, and God's been so good to me, but I forgot about, it's not about his hand. It's about his love. It's about relationship with him. That he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And he may pour out his favor upon me. But if he took that from me today, I would still have his love. I would still have his favor. I would still have all that I need from him. And therefore, the wine that needs to be poured in me is the love of God. Everything else is just a add-on to God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth in him, and that was me finally, would not perish but have everlasting life. And from there, my life really began. From there, I began to live for him instead of living for me. But every day of my life, it's a struggle. It's a challenge to make sure that I'm building his kingdom and not my kingdom. To make sure that my prayers are about what he wants instead of what I want him to do. So that I can understand and know that his will is absolutely perfect. And therefore, whatever he desires to pour upon me today will be enough to get me through today. When it gets tough, I don't want to say, the old is good enough. When it gets difficult, I don't want to say, you know what, the cost is too great. Because Jesus paid the greatest cost he could ever pay for me. And therefore, it is no cost at all. Matter of fact, Paul said, everything I've done up to this point is garbage compared to Jesus Christ and him saving me and giving me the life. It's easier to be okay with good, but God has prepared us for great. He's prepared us to be great in him because he is great. So we got to make that transition, but that's not going to happen unless we pursue. So let's look at this really quickly here. So we can't be looking for a Band-Aid to stop the bleeding anymore, right? We got to get turned inside out. Let him take it from the inside and bring it out. We can't be looking for that treatment anymore. We got to be seeking the cure. Jesus Christ is the cure. We can't say good is good enough anymore. We got to say we want all of him. I want all of me to follow all of you. He desires the same for me as he does for you. That we progress from being just a follower to an actual proclaimer. There's a transition in our prayer life that as we begin to grow and we begin to shed this old life and this old wineskin, that my prayer all of a sudden begins to change from, Lord, this is what you can do for me. And before I get up, I say, Lord, is there something I can do for you? Because as we just said earlier, we're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Heaven, for me, relationship is enough. To be with my Savior is enough. It's going to be so much more than that, but it's enough. Because he saw me when I couldn't see myself. He called for me when I couldn't even hear. He knew me in my mother's womb. He knew my destiny before I could even imagine or even fathom or even have the chance to run from it. He knew what he had made me to do. And he knew what he made you to do. And he knows tonight what you need to be doing, what you need to be reading, who you need to be hanging out with. And the more you pursue him, the more it's commonplace and natural to hear his voice. That simple prompting, that's for you, that's not for you. Draw closer to these, let these go. He's going to guide and direct and lead you to a glorious destiny, Ephesians says. And therefore, you and I, all he's asking us to do is pursue. And the more I pursue, the more I find how great and how loving and how expansive and how amazing and how comforting and how much he can do for me, sure. But he lets me know how much I can do for him. He says things to me through his word like, blessed are you when you mourn. What? I'm mourning. No, for you shall be comforted. When you need me, Don, in a way that you've never needed me before, you're going to find me. You're going to find me in a way that you've never found me before because I am enough. I'm always enough. As we pursue him, he's already pursuing us. We got to progress from not only being a hearer of the word, but a doer also. A progression from good is good enough to God is enough. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, Matthew 5:6, they shall be filled. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. The darkness cannot stay in the light. Jesus gave his life to make all things new. And therefore, I need to be able to put on this new life, to make sure that it's expansive enough and flexible enough to allow all that God wants to pour inside of me, to be able to the point where it's to capacity, but also to the point of overflowing. I think about him calling Matthew. And I think about Matthew, where he thought his life was. Matthew was a tax collector, right? Hated by Romans, hated by the Jews. He had sold out everything in the world to satisfy himself. And when Jesus began to call his disciples, I don't know which movie this is. It's not The Chosen or any of the newer ones. It's an older movie where Daniel can probably help me later with it. But anyway, Jesus is just teaching, and Matthew is sitting in his booth, and he's just sobbing. Because he's convicted and he's like, man, I've just thrown my life away. Up to this point, it's just been just horrible garbage. And then Jesus turns and calls him. He's that way for you tonight. He's that way for anybody. If you feel him drawing in your heart tonight, then he's reaching for you. No man can come to him unless he pulls him. And sometimes we don't even feel the pull. We're overwhelmed by the love. We're overwhelmed by the grace. We're overwhelmed by the conviction sometimes because we know we have this thing that's hidden back here. And Satan's telling us, oh, if anybody knew this, they'd kick you out of this place. Well, you can leave here without it tonight. Jesus is here to set you free. And Jesus is here to speak life into you. He's here to let you know whatever little patch you got hanging on can be left in this altar tonight. And you can grow in the Lord and expand more and grow more in him, because we can't live enough lifetimes on this earth to become like Christ. But the pursuit is the joy of serving him. The pursuit is always about love, grace, kindness, goodness, all of the fruit that I can produce. But every day, it's as simple as him reaching out his hand and you saying, I'll follow you. Today, I'm going to follow you. Today, it's not about my kingdom. It's about your kingdom. Today, it's not about me. It's about you. And if I change my mind later today, that's some of the old serenity prayer. Don't listen to me, Lord. Don't even listen to me. The steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered, right? So the parable of calling Matthew is a beautiful story, because I know that I was unworthy of the call. I know that I was unworthy to do what I'm doing before you tonight. And these thoughts that have been coming into my mind the last few days used to bring a lot of shame to me. And I'm not going to speak any of them, because they bring a lot of hurt, not only to me, to other people too. But instead of thinking about all the shame and all the things that the enemy would desire to hinder me and to grieve me. And I've already asked for forgiveness, so I'm not grieving the Holy Spirit. Just prompted a thankful heart to God that He was faithful. That He was faithful to save me and my life and save others' life that I put in danger. That He was faithful to see me past myself, to save me in spite of myself. To save me for something that was greater than myself. Because once I realized He loved me, my life changed. Once I realized He was for me, my life changed again. And once I realized He had something for me, my life was never the same. And it never will be again. Because serving Him is greater than ever, ever serving myself. The joy of the Lord is mine and your strength. So as the praise team comes tonight, I want us to just think about just a few things. So what is your patch? What is the Holy Spirit fingered in you tonight? What is that thing that you really need to make sure that you leave here with it gone in that new part of you? What root has still got a hold of you? What shame, what hurt, what emotion, whatever's gotten a hold of you that has gotten something deep down in the root that needs to be taken out? That's what He wants to do in this place tonight. And what part of you and me, and we all can do this now, what part of us that we like our tradition, that we like it a certain way, is hindering us from embracing something maybe that He desires to do? Something that's not against the Word of God, but something that's different than we've done before, but it's going to reach people we've never reached before. Not the gospel, not changing anything in the Word, not changing anything that's core or fundamental faith. I'm just talking about our preferences here. I'm talking about things we prefer. God has been dealing with me for the last 2 or 3 years about things I prefer over things He's asking me to do. And so once I do the things He's asking me to do, the results are up to Him, right? When I do the things I prefer, I think the results are up to me. And therefore, what are those things that we're holding on to that really don't matter? And He's trying to allow us to embrace this new expansion of us, to expand us out, to move us forward. And lastly, where are we at in our pursuit? Where are we at? I was talking to some young men last night in a discipleship where we had about 5 generations represented. And some of the older ones were just, their eyes were lighting up, Daniel. They were discussing the Word and they were talking. And I saw those 2 young men who were just kind of deciding, do they serve the Lord or do they not serve the Lord? And I just told them, I said, guys, this desire and this spark is cultivated. It is a cultivated thing over time. The Lord honors discipline. Get into the Word and it gets pulled out in the way that it needs to get pulled out. And so that opportunity for you is there to just push in and pursue the Word and pursue more of that. Maybe you're going to make a commitment like that tonight. And lastly, well, I'll share that with you after we finish the altar. The altars are open if you want to come and pray. Teresa and I will pray with you. Daniel and Shay will pray with you. Let's ask the Lord to do what He desires in us tonight.